content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed Daily Scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church USA. Our readings on this program today cover the week of Monday, November 21st through Sunday, November 27th, 2022. The commentary for this week and all of November was written by Todd Haig, an English teacher, husband, father, and sports enthusiast, who also loves literature and travels. His family attends Christ Episcopal Church in Tyler, Texas. And the commentary for Monday, November 21st, the first day of this week, is from the book of Galatians in the New Testament, chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. And the commentary for this day, I'm not terribly career conscious. It's perhaps a personal shortcoming that has frustrated some of my close friends. I have a propensity to live from opportunity to opportunity, accepting the ones I'm excited about and passing on the ones I'm not. I've taught at very small private schools, and I currently teach at a large one. I do what I love because I love it. This particular way of life may work for some, but not others. As for me, this way of life helps me contemplate the meaning of success. For Christians, success is not about wealth, security, a beautiful home, or other status symbols. My friend once told me of a homily given by his priest. He pointed to the crucifix behind him and said, "That is a picture of success." Our success cannot be measured by our net worth. It's measured by our connection to Christ. And now I'll read the full passage for this day from the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. For all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. And the forward movement question for this day is very simple. How do you measure success? Now we'll turn to the commentary for Tuesday, November 22nd, from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? In the Episcopal Church, we take this day to commemorate the life of one of the 20th century's most influential Christians, C.S. Lewis, known to his Oxford colleagues as Saint Jack. No person has had a greater impact on my life than Lewis. On one visit to Oxford, my wife and I followed the steps of his life. We explored his home, college, and places he spent time with his wife and friends. We walked his favorite path, Addison's Walk, where he experienced the divine in such a profound way that it led to his conversion from atheism to Christianity. When we visited his grave to say goodbye, I was left with a sense of melancholy. I felt, in a small way, I had lived Jack's story, and now it had concluded. Truthfully, Jack's story isn't over. He is no less alive in Christ than we are. He resides with Jesus, the saints, and all the company of heaven. Happy Feast of Saint Jack, everyone. And now I'm going to read the full commentary for this day from the first book of Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 10 through 23. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Each builder must choose with care how to build on it, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, the work of each builder will become visible, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each has done. If what has been built on the foundation survives, the builder will receive a reward. If the work is burned up, the builder will suffer loss. The builder will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If you think that you are wise in this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He catches the wise in their craftiness, and again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast about human leaders, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, or life or death, or the present or the future, all belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. And the moving forward question for this day is, who is your hero of faith? The commentary for Wednesday, November 23rd begins with a passage from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. He destined us for adoption as His children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace that He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. Over the centuries, the concept of adoption has been fraught with the notion of scandal, secrets, the unknown. At times, adopted or single-parent children were assigned illegitimate status. They were often seen as the result of someone's mistake or shortcoming. They were whispered or speculated about at family gatherings, and when it came time for the passing on of the family estate, their claim to the legacy was often contested. But today's passage redeems the notion of what it means to be adopted. The Apostle Paul reminds us that we are all adopted. Christ offers all of us a legacy free from scandal, both of our own making and that of others. He gives us a name and an inheritance and makes us a part of the family story. By the good will, or the good pleasure of His will, adoption is a testimony of Christ's grace and love. Thanks be to God. And now I'm going to read from the entire passage for today from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. And the subject here is the spiritual blessings in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before Him in love. He destined us for adoption as His children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace that He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace that He lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight He has made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure that He set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of Him who accomplishes all things according to His counsel and will, so that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ might live for the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in Him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people to the praise of His glory. And the moving forward question for this day, what does it mean to you to be adopted by Christ? And now let's turn to the commentary for Thursday, November 24th, which of course is Thanksgiving Day in the United States. This begins with a passage from the book of Psalms, chapter 100, verses 2 through 4. Know this, the Lord Himself is God. He Himself has made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Go into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and call upon His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His faithfulness endures from age to age. Technically, Thanksgiving is a secular holiday, in that it was officially recognized by President Abraham Lincoln in 1863. Many people struggle with the complex history of the holiday of Thanksgiving, but Christians have an alternative view to offer. Thanksgiving should not be a day on which we express our gratitude to humanity, living or dead. Rather, we should view this as a day set aside to acknowledge the presence of the divine in our lives and to recognize that all we possess is a testimony to God's care. It is also a season to express thankfulness for life and for the lives of the people we love. Gratitude should be offered every day, and especially on this one. And now I'll read the full passage from the wonderful Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is He that made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. And the moving forward question for this day is, how will you offer a prayer for this Thanksgiving Day? And now let's turn to the commentary for Friday, November 25th, the day after Thanksgiving. This one is from the book of Romans, chapter 15, verses 9b through 12. Therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall have hope. The commentary for this day, much of St. Paul's ministry involved breaking through old centers of tribalism and traditions and replacing them with Christian faith. Even old titles like Jew and Gentile would prove to be outmoded in this new unity. Our sources of pride, loyalty, identity, and ideology take a back seat to this new unifying presence. We are no longer members of disparate groups, families, or races. From now on, we are brothers and sisters in Christ and members of his church body, brought together at the Eucharistic table. I have very little in common with many people in my congregation. In fact, we may not agree on a single thing. But every week, we kneel at the same communion rail and confess our sins to the same Christ. And now I'll read the entire passage from the book of Romans, chapter 15, verses 7 through 13. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the moving forward question for today is, first, read Galatians chapter 3, verses 28, and ask yourself this: how does its message fit within this passage from the Romans? Now the commentary for Saturday, November 26th, that begins with a passage from Psalms 104, verses 10 through 15. You send the springs into the valleys, they flow between the mountains. All the beasts of the field drink their fill from them, and the wild asses quench their thirst. Beside them the birds of the air make their nests and sing among the branches. You water the mountains from your dwelling on high. The earth is fully satisfied by the fruit of your works. You make grass grow for flocks and herds and plants to serve mankind, that they may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden our hearts. American author Stephen Crane once wrote a novelette entitled The Open Boat. It's the story of a ship's crew lost at sea and fighting desperately against the overwhelming machine of the ocean tides. The Psalms have all the attributes of great ancient poetry. there's the humble acknowledgement of human frailty and the overwhelming grandeur and mystery of the created world. And there is the recognition that, above it all, is the supreme providence of the divine. All things are dependent on God, the inanimate world, the animal kingdom, and the human family. Nothing can exist without God's hand. And now we have time today to read from the entire Psalm 104, which encapsulates all of the thoughts of the commentary today. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, wrapped in light as with a garment. You stretch out the heavens like a tent. You set the beams of your chambers on the waters. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride on the wings of the wind. You make the winds your messengers, fire and flame your ministers. You set the earth on its foundations so that it shall never be shaken. You cover it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they flee. At the sound of your thunder they take to flight. They rose up to the mountains, ran down to the valleys, to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills, giving drink to every wild animal. The wild asses quench their thirst. By the streams the birds of the air have their habitation. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the cattle, and plants for people to use, to bring forth food from the earth, and wine to gladden the human heart, oil to make the face shine, and bread to strengthen the human heart. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. In them the birds build their nests. The stork has its home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are a refuge for the conies. You have made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness, and it is night, when all the animals of the forest come creeping out. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food for God. When the sun shines, they withdraw and lie down in their dens. People go out to work and to their labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide, creeping things. Innumerable are there, living things, both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan that you formed to sport in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. Who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. And the moving forward question for this day is, what poem or song reminds you of the divine? And now the commentary for Sunday, November 27th. It begins with a passage from the book of Romans, chapter 13, verses 11 through 12a. Besides this, you know what time it is. how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone. The day is near. I grew up attending a small private religious school, says the commentator for this day. I still remember the teacher of my faith formation class making us memorize the 12th, 13th, and 14th chapters of Romans. At the time, we felt it was terribly unreasonable expectation, but some 30-plus years later, I can still quote large sections of the passage. On this first Sunday of Advent, St. Paul is preparing us for something new. He's building our anticipation, telling us to keep our heads up, our eyes searching the skies. The moment of our redemption is at hand, but what that redemption looks like is different for all of us. For some of us, it's the ability to let go of guilt. For others, it's the capacity to forgive. And for others still, the healing of old wounds. This Advent, anticipate the freedom found only in Christ. For salvation is nearer to us now than ever before. And now I'm going to read the full passage here from the book of Romans 13, verses 11 to 14. And this one is entitled, An Urgent Appeal. Besides this, you know what time it is. How is it now the moment for you to wake from sleep? For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone. The day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably, as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. And the moving forward question for this day is very simply, what are you waiting for this Advent? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time.